You know how much I love our farms here in Connecticut, and thank God Brian Herbert is always willing to come back on WICC, give us the latest update. He told me late last week that the Department of Agriculture has their new census of agriculture data available, and they're sharing the details here on WICC first. And I know my inner farmer girl is just so excited to hear all about this. So, Brian, welcome back to the show. Thank you so much for being here.
Good morning. Thank you for having me. Thanks again for your continued interest in agriculture and an opportunity to talk about some of the new information we recently received.
Well, Brian, I mean, it matters. And I do want to recap people before we share the information. Talk to our listening audience about how prevalent our farms are here in Connecticut, how many we have, how many dollars our farms are bringing in for our local economy.
Yeah. And the great thing when we come on, we get to, you know, pick everybody's eyes up and look at the horizon level of where Connecticut agriculture is. So the latest census data, which USDA generates every 5 years, they send out flyers to known farmers, farms with over $1,000 worth of sales. And this year's census came back that we have just over 5,000 farms. So we're down a little bit, which is on the national trend. But we only lost 8,000 acres of farmland. So we had 380,000 acres that were in production in the previous census in 2017. We're at 372. So I'm not sure exactly how those numbers line up. And that's one of the things that we're going to continue to dig into. But over 140,000 acres were cropland. We still have, a significant amount of land that's in hay or in forest. Or that's open for pasture, and it generates $4 billion to the state's economy, providing jobs for 22,000 people. So when we think about agriculture and the individual farms and the farm stands or the farmers market that we visit, those are all really good. And then we aggregate all that information and say, okay, now what's the total impact that that agriculture has in our state? And this is a great way to measure us and progress against sister states and the nation.
So a couple of things I wanted to just go back and look at, Brian. First of all, you said that we did mm-hmm. go down as far as the number mm-hmm. of farms here in Connecticut. And you said that's kind of what we're seeing nationally. Why? Why are we seeing mm-hmm. a decrease in our farms?
Yeah, I was actually down in Washington, D.C. not too long ago. We had the opportunity to hear from United States Department of Agriculture Secretary Vilsack. Who's very concerned about this on the national trend, just like we are here in the state. And the reality is that the cost of production is getting higher. You know, more land costs, more inputs, you know, seed, fertilizer, pesticides, all costs more. So the margins are getting smaller. And it's something like on the national level, some of the farms generated over 85% of the farm income. And these are still family farms, you know, but they're just the scale changes. And so one of the things that we've been trying to do is to bring in new people, reach out, people who aren't traditionally linked with agriculture, people who didn't grow up on a farm, and get them interested in agriculture. When you think about all the different ways you can apply a skill set, agriculture has a lot of the same needs. You need mechanics. You need computer science and technology folks. You need people with good management skills. I was talking to a farmer Friday evening. He's contracting with a local who's doing drone surveillance footage of all of his cropland and identifying where erosion is happening, where he's got some pest issues, whether it be weeds or plants or other, and where he's short fertilizer or over-applied fertilizer. So when you think about what agriculture can do and the different types of skill sets you can apply to it, pretty much anybody can find a really neat job in agriculture right now.
That's really neat. And again, we have Commissioner Brian Herbert here, who is with the Department of Agriculture here in Connecticut. And we just got the census data in. And this is done, you said, every 5 years, correct, Brian?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
And so here in Connecticut, we still have, it shows just over 5,000 farms. However, net farm income, it says, has increased by 90%. What does that mean when they say our net farm income increased by 90%? I mean, that sounds really good, but what does that mean in layman's terms?
It sounds really good. And every farm in Connecticut was making 90% margin. The reality is that we know that's not the case.
Right.
So in talking to the USDA, because of the cost of inputs, I mean, remember when Russia invaded Ukraine, the cost of fertilizer doubled and tripled in some instances. So I think the margins are the same as they were 5 years ago. It's just that everything costs that much more. So you're seeing, you know, twice the amount of money going into the production to get the same amount out, and that's a real challenge. And consumers, you know, I like to join you in other media events, is to remind people that the margins are really thin. You know, you don't see a lot of really wealthy farmers in the state of Connecticut, but they work really hard for that margin, and they provide a great product, and that's why we need to support them.
I love talking to Brian Hurlburt. He is the commissioner of the Department of Agriculture here in Connecticut, and I love our farms. That's why Brian and I, we kind of geek out a little bit over our farms because they matter. They totally do. If you missed the beginning of our interview, we have over 5,000 farms here in Connecticut. We're employing how many people in the state, Brian, because of our farms?
22,000 people.
Okay. I mean, it's pretty significant, not to mention it's a $4 billion industry, which is nothing to, you know, to scoff at. It's pretty impressive.
Right.
Not to mention, I mean, in a world where so many people are so hyper focused on their health and the quality of the food that's going in their bellies, not just for themselves but for their children, I mean, I just don't think there's anything better than farm fresh food. I don't think I appreciated it that much growing up, but when I graduated college, I happened to have been in a very big farming industry state, which is Vermont, and they only basically believe in farm food. That's kind of their bread and butter, if you will. So coming back to Connecticut and connecting with Brian and realizing that the farming industry is huge here in Connecticut really was, to me, very inspiring. And I think it's so important that we continue to support our farms. And so that's why we have Brian on as often as we can. And today he's actually sharing with WICC First the census, this new census of agriculture data. Unfortunately, it's not all great news. It's not terrible news, but it's not, you know,
right.
Yay, everything's perfect. It's far from that. You were saying, Brian, we had a little bit of a drop in the number of farms we have here in Connecticut. Unfortunately, the cost to run these farms and to pump out these products that the farms have done in the past, it's costing them a whole lot more money. My question is, we didn't really touch on weather, but I know the few times I had you on in 2023, weather was a central focus in some of the issues our farms were seeing in Connecticut. Could you talk a little bit about that? And do you think that's a factor in why the numbers were not on our side for this most recent census?
Yeah. Well, and a lot of your listeners will probably think about how often it rained on the weekend during 2023, or you know, that they had water in their basement a little bit more than they remember happening in previous years. And that's what was happening across farms in the state. In February, we had a deep freeze after a mild winter, which damaged a lot of the peach crop. The peach buds froze and died and therefore weren't able to create a fruit. Late May, we had another really deep freeze damaged a lot of the apple crop. Same thing, froze the buds. And then in July, I think people remember what happened in Vermont and all the water that came down from Vermont and the rain that ensued. And then it rained almost every single weekend throughout the rest of the year. It was a pretty traumatic and devastating amount of rainfall and weather that we had last year. And that just that, you know, it doesn't make it easier. And you know, for people who have a garden and are trying to tend a garden and like, oh, man, you know, they didn't get any tomatoes last year. Think about if that was your livelihood.
Right.
And if you're trying to constantly manage, you know, getting a product to market. And then if you even get to the farmer's market on a Saturday or Sunday morning and it's downpouring, and nobody's showing up because they don't want to shop in the rain. Or if you count on, you know, agritourism and your fall activities, you know, take the kids out for pumpkin picking or apple picking or do a corn maze and it's pouring rain. People aren't going to do that. And so that really depressed a lot of the farm economy. We were able to, we don't run farmers markets per se. They're run by volunteers mostly across state. But we were able to work with a number of farmers and some senior centers and our Connecticut WIC offices. And we did some pop-up markets during the week at places where we knew that people were food insecure. And so we were able to set up in November. Some, you know, one or two farmers would come and set up, and we were able to help people redeem their farmers market nutrition program dollars, which is like SNAP or WIC benefits. So we were giving them access to great food. We were giving more opportunities for Connecticut farmers to sell food. You know, that's one of the ways we try to, you know, think on the fly as to how we can better serve the populations that we need to in Connecticut, which for us is both sides of the plate. You know, we want to work for the farmers and we want to make sure that people have access to their products and their food.
Another thing Commissioner Brian Hurlburt of the Department of Agriculture was talking about earlier in this conversation is trying to attract people to the farming industry here in Connecticut. When I'm reading some of the highlights from this data from the census report, the average age of all Connecticut producers was just about 59 years old. That is up from 57 in 2017. This is done every 5 years. It says increases in the 44 years and under and 65 plus categories. It showed declining numbers in the 45 to 64 year-old category. So not only how, I would love to know, how are we attracting people to the farming industry, but also how are we attracting younger people to the farming industry here in Connecticut?
Yeah. Well, and we're a little bit ahead with the percentage of new and beginning farmers. We're at 10%. National average is at 9%. Importantly, we're at 41% female-led farms. Those are two highlights in the census that we wanted to be able to share out. You know, we created this about 4 years ago, the new and beginning farmer microgrant program. Program that we already established, well-established, funded in the state budget every year, and we created a carve-out for new and beginning farmers. It's a $5,000 award. The match requirement is a lot smaller. We can do a cash advance for farmers. And the reality is that, you know, a lot of people will invest their money and time to start their farm. And then they get to the point where they need that piece of equipment or they need, you know, that next thing that's just a little too expensive. You know, they're not making enough money at the markets or at a farm stand. And they're not really ready for commercial credit. Like, they're not going to go to a bank and get a, you know, a $4,000 loan. And we created this new and beginning microfarmer program. And it's for those people who have an idea, who have a passion, but just need a little bit of help to get to, you know, farmer status. Mm-hmm. And so we make that $5,000 investment. Every year we've been able to provide this. We've increased the number of applications that we've received for the new and beginning farmer micro grant. We've increased the number that we've been able to award. And just last month we announced that. And our ag transition grant, which the part of, we were able to award 17 new farmer microgrant projects for $140,000.
That's awesome.
So, you know, we want to, if you know about it, you know, and you know, you're always talking about how we can kind of attract people in and get them more. They know about this grant. For a lot of these farmers that we've talked to, it's the first time anybody said, you're a farmer. You can get a grant. The state believes in you. And so not only is it an investment in the farm, it's an investment in confidence, an investment in their ability to be a farmer.
Yeah, no, that's definitely true. And Brian, last thing, if people are looking for something specific, they want to find where there are farm stands in their area, they, you know, anything that they're looking for when it comes to farms. I know we had somebody call in even looking for like small fruit trees, for example. Where can people go to inquiry the farms near them and the products that are available to them here in Connecticut?
Yeah, if you go to ctgrown.org, we have a farm map on there. We have information on CSAs. We have our newsletter that you for upcoming events, different ways that you can engage Connecticut farmers. And I want to make a quick plug coming up, another way to engage Connecticut farmers. Maple Weekend in Connecticut is March 16th and 17th. So you can, the Maple Syrup Producers Association of Connecticut has farms that open up their sugar shacks, and you can go see how maple syrup is made. A lot of times there's a sample involved, and buy some locally produced maple syrup. So if you go to ctmaple.org, you can find the maple syrup that are going to be open that weekend and welcoming visitors.
So that's ctmaple.org if you specifically want to know about the maple farms. That's really cool. And then in general, if you're looking for anything having to do with our farms across Connecticut, see an interactive map, check out the products available to you and everything, go to ctgrown.org. And Brian, as always, thank you so much for sharing this information and keeping us up to date with our farms across Connecticut. We really appreciate it.
Thank you. Have a great day.
Thank you. You too. Brian Hurlburt, who is the commissioner of the Department of Agriculture here on WICC.